Good morning, good morning, family. Good morning. Holy hum, that's what I call that, low talking. I was just talking to somebody about the miracle of us getting this building and everything that happened. But do you know what? God wants to do a miracle in you today. And it doesn't have to show to anybody else. But if you know that God has done something for you, that's a miracle if he's done it in you. So if you'll stand with me, we're going to dedicate this service to the Lord. And what I mean by that is giving it to him and allowing him to do what he wants to do, not only in us, like a miracle in us, but he wants it to be like a rock that drops into a pond and it ripples out. When something happens in us, it will show and people will know. And it may not be the knowing here, they just may know it here that something has changed. So be open for that today. Amen? Amen. So Father, we just come today and we just dedicate this service to you, Lord. Father, we give it to you for you to do what it is that you want to do in us. And Jesus, as we are standing with our hands outstretched, asking for your will today, God, would you do it in all of us and anyone else that walks through the door, God? We give this whole service to you, praying that you would just do what you want to do and that we would be obedient to allow that to happen in us, through us, and for others. In Jesus' name, amen.
With holy thunder and leaves us breathless. Thank you. drench my soul as mercy and grace unfold. Have you ever been drenched? Drench means every single inch is wet. So I grew up in Florida, and we used to have rain every day during a certain season. And as a kid, I would get sick and have a headache and nauseous because of the barometric change until the rain would hit. And then I would stand outside in the rain and get drenched. When we went back to Florida a few years ago when the kids were little, Nancy and Madison and Valerie all understood the meaning of standing in a Florida rain getting drenched. And it was fun to see that. And when I went back again, I sat outside while everybody else wanted to go inside so I could sit in the rain and be drenched, because there's nothing like Florida rain. But when it comes to Jesus, there is nothing like him. Let him drench you. When he drenches you, he drenches every inch. Every single minute inch is wet with his mercy and grace, and wet with his love. And that wetness grows the soil and the seeds in the soil of what he is growing in you. So when you ask for him to drench you so you can walk knowing that you are completely covered in him.
God, praise be to God. A new life I've been down. No, I'll never look back. No, I can't go back. I'm yours. No, I'll never look back. I'll never look back. No, I can't go back. I'm yours. Sing this out, praise be to God. Praise be to God. Praise be to God. You saved me from myself. Praise be to God. Praise be to God. A new life I've been down. No, I'll never look back. No, I can't go back. I'm yours. No, I'll never look back. No, I can't go back. I'm yours. Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, make me more like Jesus every day. Make me more like Jesus. Crucify my flesh with yours. My new life might be secure. Everything I do, done so I can honor you. Resurrect me, sanctify me, make me into your image. Into your image. How we love you, Jesus. Into your so much. Yeah, we love you so much. Yeah, we love you so much. We love you. We'll never stop.
Our hearts are yours, we want you. We want you. I will love you.
so I can honor you. Resurrect me, sanctify me, make me into your
to put your hands out like you're going to receive a gift. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. So in Numbers, it talks about how Moses just releases a blessing because God taught him that speaking blessings into the lives of others is important. It's not something that we just do like when we're eating or somebody sneezes, but this is something that it's a way for us to allow for the anointing and the power of the Lord to be able to fall on behalf of others and find favor in His sight. And I just feel like the Lord really wants me to speak this blessing over you guys. So as you have your hands held out, and we just ask that your minds be at peace and in rest as He speaks this over you in Jesus' name. It says, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace. So they shall put my name on the children of Israel, and I, the Lord God, will bless them. Yes, thank you, Lord. May the Lord bless you right now. I know a lot of us are going against some pretty big things in our lives and in different arenas, and this is our way of being able to come against that in the name of peace, understanding that we're rooted in who He is and that God is much bigger than any of the things that we're facing. And so when you're struggling or you have a friend or family member that's struggling, just begin to speak this blessing over them and allow His favor to fall and anoint you and cover you and saturate you. So Jesus, we just give this service to you. Lord, we bless you. We glorify your name. We thank you, Father, for who you are to us, in us, and through us, God. Father, I pray that every single heart in here would just be set ablaze for you, Father, that their fires would burn so hot that it would be impossible for others around them to not be touched by who you are in them, God. Lord, we just, we pray, God, that every action that we do, every word that we speak, Father, would hold weight in this dark world, Lord, and that we would become those lights of hope, the beacons of peace in Jesus' name. God, I thank you for who you are. We say hallelujah, 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 amen. Hug a neck of a person next to you. Amen.
Oh, that's good. Good morning, good morning. We are going to get into our declarations. If you guys would stand with me, we're going to in unison declare God's goodness over our house here, over One Life Family Worship. I don't know if you guys know this, but God really loves our church. Amen.
Amen.
So let's say this together in unison on three. One, two, three. I declare that God is building our church. God is calling us to the basic gospel, and He is awakening our church, that we will live a vulnerable life for the Lord, that God is working in our waiting, that our hearts are prepared to move where His heart moves, that we will cultivate a right heart and right minds, and we declare that we are reaching Yakima one life at a time. Amen. Pastor, can you go back to the slide before this? That God is working in our waiting. I just felt pressed to pause on that for a second because I think that it's important for us as believers to know this, that God's timing, and I think a lot of us know this, but I think it's just a good reminder that God's timing is not our timing, but God's timing is perfect. And this is the truth we stand on, is that although things don't happen the way or in the timing we want them to, that at the end of the day, God's timing is perfect. And if we can resolve the impatience that we have and realize that God is good, period, and that God's timing is perfect, period, that he is, I just believe he's going to begin comforting hearts today. So I don't know if he needs to receive that today. I know I do, being an impatient person myself, but that nonetheless, that God's timing is perfect. And so let me pray. God, we just thank you so much for the blessing you have, Lord, on this house, God. We thank you so much, God, that you have done such a mighty work, Lord, in the history of our church, God, and that you are not finished with us yet, Lord, that the days, the glory days, Lord, are not done, God, that you are still moving mightily, Lord, in this house. You still have miracles to perform in this house. You still have words to be shared in this house. You still have encounters and salvations and baptisms to have in this house. And I just pray, Lord, that every person that calls this place home, God, that they would feel a sense of your peace, a sense of your wonder, the sense of your love, God. And we just thank you, Jesus, for what you're doing in this place. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Do you have something? Okay. Real quick, we don't have a slide for it today, but I want to get it in front of you men. We have our men's breakfast the second Saturday. Pretty consistently, we were trying to do it the second Saturday of the month. And so May 11th is our next one, 8:30 here at the church. And so mark your calendar. It's a great time just to come in fellowship and gather with one another. But just wanted to get that in front of you. We'll have a slide next week, May 11th at 8:30. And then the other thing, just the basic things that happen here at our church, not basic, like it's less important, but we have youth every Sunday night, and I can go on and on about the amazing things that are happening in our youth. And I'll just say quickly that when we moved over to this house or to this church in Selah, the worry in my heart was that we would lose momentum because things were happening rapidly when we were in town on Titan. And my fear really was, and can I just admit for a second, sometimes I doubt God. And I doubted that we would continue in the same momentum. But I'm happy to say that it almost feels like the momentum has not only sustained, but almost increased in what God's doing in our young people. And so I'm really excited to just announce that God is still moving in our young people. And kids are figuring out, the kids that want to be here, they're figuring out how to make it out here. And they're making the intentionality to come and worship on a Sunday night with their peers. And so it's amazing. So if you know a young person, 6:30 to 8:30, we meet here at the church, and it's a really, really great time. Then we have two small groups. We have a women's group Tuesday nights on Zoom. They meet with Pastor Gay, and then men's Zoom group, they meet on Wednesdays, and those are both through Zoom. So if you have not connected with them yet, there's their phone numbers, or you can connect with them in person if you want to jump on that. And then last but not least, our giving. We just thank everybody who sows into the house of God. Your tithes, your offering does not go unnoticed, and it's helping us expand the kingdom of God. So we have the box up here. We have the box right outside those doors, and then as well as online. So thank you guys for giving. Amen. Pastor Gaylene.
And I do want to mention one thing about giving. Many years ago, the Lord put it on our heart not to take an offering, to let it be given by you, because that is part of your worship. And so God has always met our needs since we did this. So we truly believe that this is all about you and your heart for the Lord. So if you don't tithe and you wonder if you should, again, we encourage you, pray about it. Ask God, Lord, is that something that will make me grow in you? And I can guarantee you, he will answer you back. Amen?
Amen.
We're going to take a moment and we're going to pray for two specific needs in the house. And I'm going to ask Angela and the kids. I can't even look at you, Ange. Angela and the kids to come forward, and we're going to ask Moses to come forward. Tyson's grandmother had several strokes, and one was quite severe, and she's been on ventilator for quite a few days, and they are removing the tube today. And they are all just really hurting. Grandma lives across the mountain, and so they don't get to see her, and their hearts are broken. And so we're going to pray for this sweet family today. And don't forget, even though Tyson's not here, he's the reason they are, you know? So, and then we're going to pray for Moses' family. There's just been an attack on this family. And it's been one thing after another. Moses' brother and his son, Pete and Dominic, were in a car accident last night. Last night, right, Moy? Last night. And Pete has a broken shoulder blade, and the car's totaled. I mean, it's just been attack after attack after attack on this family, which means the devil is really mad at the Perez family and the Browns. He's furious with them. And so, good, let's bring it on, Jesus. You're in control. So we're going to pray for both these families. So if you feel the need that you want to lay hands, please come forward. We're going to pray over them. We're going to pray God touch them and bring healing to hearts and bodies and all of that.
Thank you, Jesus. Okay. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Lord, we thank you, Lord, that you are the one that holds our hearts, Lord. And we know, Lord, right now, Lord, you're holding, Lord, this family's heart right now that's looking to you, Lord, to comfort them and to give them, Lord, your peace. Lord, we know that Tyson and Angela and the kids, Lord, are in your hands, Lord, but there may be family members, Lord, that don't know you, Father. So we pray, God, that you would just draw those to you, Lord, who don't know you right now, that they would find comfort and peace, Lord, during this time, Lord, that they'd find a place of refuge, Lord, that you are. And Lord, we just pray right now for the comfort of the Holy Spirit to be over the entire family, Lord. That the peace of God would just guard their hearts and their minds, Lord, in you. And Lord, you would just allow them, Lord, to just to receive, Lord, supernaturally from heaven, Lord, everything that they need right now, Lord, to go through this moment. We just pray right now, Lord, that you would just allow the peace of God, Lord, to just rest upon them. Rest upon them. Peace that lives in them, rise up. Let that peace that Jesus gave us rise up right now and comfort and peace to their hearts, Lord. We speak in Jesus' name. And right now, Lord, we pray for the Perez family, Lord. We pray, God, that you would just, Lord, just continue to be, Lord, their God, continue to be their guard, continue to be their protection, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that nothing serious really happened in this accident. It could have been horrible. And we believe, Lord, your angels were protecting them, Lord. And Father, we just right now just ask you to continue to put a hedge of protection around the whole family, Lord. Protection, Lord, from sickness and disease. Protection, Lord, from accidents, Lord. Father, we just ask right now, Lord, that and what the enemy has meant for evil against them, Lord, that you would turn it to good and that you would bring it back upon the enemy, that the enemy would suffer loss, Lord, because of attacking this family. So we thank you, God, that you're working and you're doing things, all things well in both of these families, God. And so, Lord, we look forward to the good that you're going to bring out of both situations. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, well. Praise the Lord. Well, the question is finally going to be answered today. When is the last message of this series? It's today, so you guys can rest in that truth. What's that? Well, not necessarily. That's not the case, but is that what I said?
That's what you said.
Wow, I must have been like not thinking correctly or something. But we are on part 11. I would have liked it had it been an even number. It's 11. This is a different number to end on. But we have been communicating. I have been communicating. Hopefully you guys have been holding this in your heart, the truths, that we are equipped for war, that we are made for battle. that we just aren't made to be, just be Christians, to just go through our life and just let whatever comes against us happen. Yeah. That we are actually equipped for war, and God has given us weapons for our warfare. And the truth that we've learned, hopefully through this, is that the weapons, the main weapon that we've received is the Holy Spirit, and Jesus Christ being the Holy Spirit living in us, that power of truth, that power of righteousness, that power of the faith that He gives us, the power of our feet being prepared for war, all of those things that we've learned that I could recap probably for an entire another message or two. But today we're going to get to really kind of the crux of what all those things mean. I almost wanted to start with this verse because it's so important. But let's go ahead and read through one more time Ephesians 6 through 10 through 18. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand, therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your word. Thank you, Lord, that your word is alive. Lord, that your word is alive in us, Lord, as we read it today. As we've been going over it, Lord, we know that you have called us, Lord, for a time in this day, Lord, to be equipped for war, Lord, that we are more than just individuals walking through this life, but you've made us conquerors in Christ Jesus. Yeah. And Lord, you've given us weapons for our warfare. And the main weapon is you, Lord Jesus. You have given us yourself, Lord. You are the mighty warrior. And Lord, you have given us, Lord, these tools for accomplishing, Lord, your great works, Lord, in this earth, in this day, Lord. We've been called for such a time as this. And so, Lord, we know that we're not just on our own, Lord, but you have given us every tool and every gift that we need for this time. In Jesus' name. Verse 18. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. Prayer. Praying. If you see, we go through this process of realizing that we're equipped. I don't like to say that we do put these on, that we put them on by faith when we receive Christ and we walk in them, these truths, these values that He's given us and these tools that He's given us. And so we take that armor that we're in, that power that we're in, those giftings that we're in, and now we apply prayer with them. We now take the weapons of our warfare, which are not carnal, but they're mighty in God to pulling down strongholds, and we pray. And it says we're praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and we're being watchful. And we'll see what all these different things mean, with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. So let's take a look at this verse in a few different translations, like I'd like to do. The New Living Translation says it this way: pray in the Spirit at all times and on every occasion. Stay alert and be persistent in your prayers for all believers everywhere. This is one of those verses that I've always kind of like really, really struggled with. I mean, how do you continue to pray for everybody everywhere? How do you continue to you know, cover everybody in prayer all the time? And I'm thankful that it also says in the Spirit. There's times that I'm not able to pray for everybody, but they come to my heart. And when they come to my heart, I'm thinking about them. I'm holding them in my heart. And then when I have an opportunity, I pray. So it's like we carry each other in our hearts. I believe that there's more than just you know, getting in our prayer closet and just praying. There's an ability to be able to pray without ceasing, which we'll see that's one of the challenges that Paul presents to us. The Complete Jewish Bible says this: "And as you pray at all times with all kinds of prayers and requests in the Spirit, vigilantly and persistently for all God's people." Vigilantly and persistently. That sounds like with a tenacity. That sounds like with a fervor. That sounds like the effectual, fervent prayers of a righteous man, as it says in James, avail as much. And if we look at that, that's part of this prayer life that we're to have. And I believe being equipped, fully equipped in the full armor of God, that gives us the ability to have confidence in our prayers. And then the CEV says, never stop praying, especially for others. Always pray by the power of the Spirit. Stay alert and keep praying for God's people. So we had all these actual weapons. If we go back to our that we see here, the helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness, the shield of faith, girding our loins with truth. We don't see that the feet there has the preparation of the gospel of peace, the sword of the Spirit. But you could say that praying kind of brings it all together. Praying and communicating God allows those things to have power, I believe, in not only our lives, but in others' lives. So look at this praying always. Romans 12:2 says this: rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, and continuing steadfastly in prayer. Amen. So it's a consistency. It's a continuance that we do. We don't just pray one time, you know, and say it's all good. We continue to lift people before the throne of grace. I have a little testimony. A brother I was working with who's over in another location was telling me that he was going through some severe marital trials, and he was telling me, you know, the situation. And it was getting like it was at the end. And I heard this, and my heart just got heavy when I heard this. So I started praying that their marriage would be a miracle marriage. You know, totally against what the report was. And I just started declaring, Lord, I thank you that this is going to be a miracle marriage. And I prayed the miracle marriage and the husband and the miracle marriage and the wife, and declared, you know, the plan of God, the will of God, the passion, you know, all those things that we want to see in a miracle marriage. And so it had been about 2 weeks, and I called them and I said, hey bro, I just wanted to see how it was going. You know, you told me that it was like you were, you know, just about ready to completely call it quits, and I just want to know how things are going. Well, it's going really well. And so he told me that basically they had both repented very powerfully in front of each other and just wept, and how God just healed his heart amazingly and healed her heart amazingly, and how she hadn't been going to church with him, and she went that Sunday to church with him, and it was like, he said it was like a miracle marriage. And I said, well, that's what I've been praying, you know. And so I'm telling you, continually steadfast in prayer for individuals works. Prayer works. You know, one of the great, great things that Pastor Ken taught us and said is that more prayer is better than less prayer. I mean, it's so simple, but it really is true. More prayer is better than less prayer. Thank you, Lord. Colossians 1:3. We give thanks to God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you. Do you ever, like, drive and all of a sudden someone comes on your heart and you think about them? You know, when that happens, that's like a divine, I believe, inspiration by the Holy Spirit to start praying for them. And you say, well, Pastor, I don't know what to pray. Well, just say, Lord, I pray that your will would be done in their life. I pray, God, that what you want to do right now, you put them on my heart, that I agree with what you want to do in their lives. Maybe you know something. You say, Lord, I pray that you would just help them through this difficult time, that you would give them your peace, just like we prayed for the Honer family and the Perez's. We just pray that God would just touch the situation, because he can.
And, you know, I heard one time from somebody that said that God is ready to do everything that we need, but he needs someone to agree with him on earth for it to happen. You know, and you may be that one that agrees with God for what he wants to do in someone's life. Maybe there's someone that you know that no one's ever prayed for them. And you can tell that they're in a state of loss. They're a state of disappointment. They're in a state of depression or whatever it may be. And you could start praying for them and say, well, I don't really know them that well. But if you see the situation and you feel something, take that as a go from God and put them on a piece of paper or something on your phone. Set a little alarm reminder and just start praying for them and watch God do a miracle in them. Yeah. Because you're now agreeing, because we know that God would have it that none would perish, that all would come to repentance, that everyone would receive Christ, the good news. So what are you doing? You're now agreeing with the Father in heaven about that for this person's life. Right. Guess what? Now the resources of heaven can work on their behalf. Yes. Salvation could come to a whole household because of that. Yep. So Paul knew this, and that's why he said, I'm always praying for you. 1 Thessalonians 5, 16 and 18 through 18. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. That was always the one that was really hard for me. Pray without ceasing, you know. How do you do that? How do you, you know, especially a guy, how do you go to work, start dealing with people or start dealing with customers and praying without ceasing? Well, I believe that we're spiritual beings. And so I believe that we can say, Lord, I'm doing all this stuff, but I open up my spirit to whatever you want to use my spirit for right now so that I can pray without ceasing. You know people that are on my heart. You know things that I've heard. I just ask you right now, Holy Spirit, you just work through me and let me be an instrument used by you so that I can fulfill this praying without ceasing, because I can't do it in my natural being. That's for sure. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. All right. Prayer and supplication. So back here in this verse 18, it says, praying always with all prayer and supplication. So some people say, so what exactly is supplication? Well, I'm going to show you. I'm glad you asked. Prayer is a broader term that encompasses a wide range of ways to communicate with God. Now, this includes adoration, kind of a little bit like what we did this morning when we're adoring him, when we started singing those songs and our hearts started being lifted up to God, we're adoring him. That's kind of a prayer as well. It's not just worship. We're communicating to God out of the depths of our being. Confession. Sometimes we could just communicate with God things that are on our hearts, things that we've done, things that he's asked us to do that we haven't followed through with, and so we confess those things. Thanksgiving, thanking him for who he is and what he's done in our lives and what he'll continue to do. Intercession and petition. And supplication, though, on the other hand, is a specific type that involves humble, earnest requests, asking for something specific, often with a sense of need or urgency, seeking God's intervention or assistance in a situation. When we were praying for the families up here, we were doing supplication. We were asking for God to meet these needs that were in these families, to heal these bodies, to touch these lives. Amen. So if we go back to the Old Testament, we see one of the times that prayer and supplication were used in the same verse. And this is King Solomon, and this is at the dedication of the temple. And so he is just now finishing praying for the dedication of the temple, for what God wants to do in this temple, what would happen to Israel if they turned their backs on God, how he would come and work in their lives, sometimes by coming, having their enemies come and take their stuff so that they would turn their hearts back to God. When he's all done, it says, and so it was when Solomon had finished praying all this prayer and supplication to the Lord, that he arose from before the altar of the Lord, from kneeling on his knees with his hands spread up to heaven. So Solomon is just kneeling on his knees with his hands up to heaven, and he's crying out to God. He's praying. He's asking God to do things. He's thanking God for who he is, thanking for what he's done up to this point. And then it's called prayer and supplication, because he's also declaring the needs of the Israelites at that time. Philippians 4:6, you guys have heard this before, I'm sure, if you've been a Christian for any length of time. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Then it says, goes on to say, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. But prayer and supplication, not just talking to God about things, but asking him to meet those needs. Do you guys know that God wants to meet our needs? He wants to meet our spiritual needs. He wants to meet our physical needs. He wants to meet our financial needs, our emotional needs. He wants to meet our needs. Why? Because it makes us better people. When our needs are met and we're not always, you know, groping for something in our life, it's easier to give out. It's easier to help others when our needs are met. All right. Being watchful. Now think about this idea that we're to put on the whole armor of God. Let's go back to what we're doing here. We're putting on the whole armor of God. We're realizing that the truth that Christ is lives in us, that the righteousness that he is ours to have because we are clothed in his righteousness, not our own, right? We're having our feet prepared so we can stand. If you remember right, we learned that it's not just about the gospel, but it's the gospel of peace makes it so that we can stand strong for Christ. So his peace allows us to stand strong. We have the shield of faith. We have faith, right? Just picture all of this. We have this faith. We have all of this equipment. We have the sword of the Spirit. We have the helmet of salvation. We have all this great power. But now we're to also be watchful. We're to keep our eyes open and our hearts open for what God is doing, what God wants to do, what he will do in the future, what he's doing now. We're to be in a almost like a stance in our hearts, in our spirits of readiness. Not just taking it easy, not just kicking back, you know, not just letting just life pass you by. We're to be vigilant. We're to be disciplined. We're to be people that are on guard. And why are we doing this? Let's take a look. First of all, let's see what this word watchful means. It means to be sleepless. It means to chase. It's to chase sleep. It is used metaphorically to be watchful. The word expresses not mere wakefulness, but the watchfulness of those who are intent upon a thing. So part of our battle is to be awake. Part of our battle is to be sober-minded. Part of our battle is to be in a state of readiness. And you know, if you think about the world nowadays, that's totally opposite of the world. The world is like chilling, you know, checking out, you know, what the latest, you know, posts are, you know, chilling. Is that too old? Yeah. Anyway, that's my old kickback word. Yeah, chilling. And you know, they're not worried about hardly anything. You know, at that time, they're just, you know, just looking at life through, you know, the screen, or they're just, you know, communicating with others, you know, through the screen. And it's not like they're even aware of their surroundings. We've talked about it before. The people that are online that show the videos where they're on their screens. And next thing you know, they're in a manhole somewhere, or they're falling into a pond, you know, with a koi pond with a bunch of goldfish around them when they're done. But the idea is they're not watchful. They're not aware of their surroundings. Right. That's not supposed to be us. And so what is this telling us? It means that we need to ask the Lord, Lord, how can I become more watchful? How can I be, as it says here, how can I be so watchful and have an idea that you have an intent for me to do something? You have a desire for me to do something. That I know what your desires are and I have an intent to fulfill it. Whether that be for pray for somebody or be ready to share with somebody. Mark 13, 32 through 33. But to that day and hour, no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. Take heed, watch and pray, for you do not know when the time is. So watch and pray, Jesus is saying, for what? For the end of days. You know, we're not to be like the ones, oh, where's the promise of his returning? You know, he says in the New Testament that, you know, he'd come back anytime. Well, he's not come back. And so people, you know, say, well, you know, some people said that he already came back. Some people say he's not coming back. We say, no, we're watching for him to come back. We're intent. We're looking. We're alert for Jesus' return. That's the way we're to be in prayer. This is another one. Luke 21:36. Jesus is saying, watch therefore and pray always that you may be counted worthy to escape all these things that will come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. This is when Jesus gives in Luke the whole description of what it's going to be like in the last days when he returns. And he's telling us as disciples now, as children of God now, to be watchful, be attentive, to be sleepless. Just think about that, to be sleepless. So how do we do that? I mean, I like sleep. I don't know about anybody else, but I love sleep. It's like when my head hits the pillow, it's like, oh, this feels so good. But there should be an attitude of not restfulness in us. That even though we're sleeping, we're awake. You know, I think there's a psalm that says, I was asleep, but my heart was awake. That there's always an alertness to us, even when we're asleep. How you do that? If you guys figure out how to fully do that, let me know. I'm still working on it. Then the word perseverance. Let's take a look here again. It says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance. Perseverance. So, this word in the Strong is, oh boy, proscartiario. Does that sound pretty good? Pretty close? Yes, and Kay's like, yeah, I don't know about that. What? Jesse's always good at pronouncing those. Yeah. But it is a verb, and it means strong perseverance. It means someone which prevails by interacting with God. So it's not a perseverance that we develop in ourselves, like, I'm going to do this. It's like, no, through a relationship with God, the full armor of God, Christ in us, the hope of glory, realizing that we have relationship with him and he lives in us, then through that, we can have a perseverance which prevails. Now, it's only used in Ephesians 6:18, never used again in the Bible. So I always look at words that are only used one time and say, well, that's a powerful word that the writer, who is Paul, in this particular passage, decided to use a word that he never used to get before. So to me, it says it carries weight. It says here in the Greek, it says that it's a cognate, and it's a cognate. It means it's associated with another word, and it's associated with this word. It's a tough one to pronounce anyway. Proscartario. And it is a noun, but it means to consistently show strength which prevails. So this is the noun. So in other words, if I was somebody that was proscartiero, I would be somebody that was consistently showing strength, that I prevailed over things. Then if you were to put the verb into action, you're someone that is consistently showing strength. You're consistently prevailing. That's what we're encouraged to do in our warfare. We're to be more than conquerors. Not in our own strength, but in Christ, we're to be more than conquerors. It says here we're to endure, staying in a fixed direction, remaining firm. It says that we're going to be consistently showing strength which prevails in spite of any of the difficulties. In spite of things coming up in our lives that say, you know what, you've got issues going on, so don't worry about it. You don't need to continue strong. No, that's the times we need to press in. That's the time we need to say, know what? I'm going to continue to persevere and see what God will do in this situation. So I can't find another word, like I said, for the verb, but here is the noun being used. But we, in Acts 6:4, but we will give ourselves continually to prayer and the ministry of the word. Does anybody know what this is? This is when they choose the deacons. And the deacons are basically handling the feeding of the poor, the widows. They're taking care of the physical needs of the church at that time. And the disciples are saying, and now we're going to continually give ourselves. In other words, we're going to persevere with prayer and the ministry of the word. Then I want to finish with this thought and give you a little bit of a different view of what this word means from these two translations. This is the easy read version. It says, pray in the Spirit at all times. Pray with all kinds of prayers and ask for everything you need. To do this, you must always be ready. And then it says, never give up. That's that perseverance. Never give up. It doesn't matter if you've been praying for 10 years for somebody, don't give up. Continue to pray. Continue to believe. You know what? Even though you may have not have seen the result today, you may see the result tomorrow. Then always pray for all of God's people. And then the Complete Jewish Bible, which we used a little earlier again, says, as you pray at all times with all kinds of prayer and requests in the Spirit, vigilantly and persistently for all God's people. Vigilantly and persistently. In other words, with tenacity and with consistency. Don't stop. Constantly go. So if we do these things, you know, and again, I can't review all of them, but if we do these things, we're not warring against flesh and blood. We're warring against principalities and powers, rulers of the darkness of this age, spiritual hosts in heavenly places, that there are weapons that we can battle with. That we are more than conquerors in Christ. And if we could start taking a stand in prayer, vigilantly, fully armed, fully full of our armor, that I think we'll see family members, we'll see coworkers, we'll see people around us start to give their hearts to Christ. And that's really what it's about. It's not just to have our needs met, you know, where, oh yeah, you know, well, I don't have to worry about my car payment because, you know, the money came in, so it's all taken care of. That's great. But what about the person next to you that doesn't know Jesus, that doesn't have the hope of salvation? Let's start standing in the gap for them. Let's start standing in the gap for marriages that we hear about. Let's start standing in the gap for you know, people in your family that you know do not have the goodness of God in their heart because they haven't received the light of the glorious gospel. Amen? Amen. Amen. So you are equipped for war. I know that it doesn't feel like that sometimes. I know sometimes you guys, you know, look again in the mirror and you just see yourself and you go like, oh man, how am I going to do anything? Well, that's not who you are in the Spirit. In the Spirit, you are mighty warriors. So Lord, we thank you, God, for this day. Thank you, God, that you are working in each and every one of us. And you have equipped us, Lord, for this day to battle, Lord. So I pray right now, Lord, for every individual that's here, that you would give them confidence, Lord, in who you have created them to be. Lord, that they would not just look in the mirror, Lord, but they would look in the mirror of the Word of God and see what you say about them. That they would see how they have been given every spiritual gift, Lord, that they need, God. That they've been given everything that they need for life and godliness in you, Lord. Lord, that they don't lack any good thing, God. And Lord, that no matter what the enemy may speak to them in lies, Lord, that your truth, Lord, would prevail. And that truth, Lord, would make them free and help them to become who you have called them to be in this day. In Jesus' name, amen. Stir within. Surrender, Lord, to your plan for our lives, Lord. Lord, we surrender, Lord, to your purposes, Lord, in our lives. Help us, Lord, to move beyond our fears. Help us, Lord, to move beyond, Lord, our hesitations, Lord. And help us, Lord, to find, Lord, that place of strength in you, that place of anchoring our souls in the true God, the living God. Lord, help us, Lord, to not be so captivated, Lord, by the lies of the enemy, and help us to be entrenched in your truth. Lord, we surrender, Lord, to who you are and who you want to be in us, Lord. Let your perfect will and purposes and plans be fulfilled in us. In Jesus' name, amen. Bless you.